You're listening to the Nerd News Network. When news breaks, we bring you the pieces. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 137 of Little Brother for the 28th of October, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this show are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. IPv4 addresses are usually written down as four decimal numbers separated by dots. For instance, 192.168.1.1. However, there are other notations that can be used. One of those notations is hexadecimal. Convert the number to base 16, precede it with 0x and no punctuation. For instance, the above address would become 0x ray Charlie 0 Alpha 8 0101. This kind of notation is normal in IPv6, but unusual here. Well, it turns out that this flexibility in notation provides a nice little hole in some security measures, and the threat actors behind Shellbot are exploiting it to slide under the radar. Very clever. Curl is a command line utility for downloading web content directly with lots of extended capabilities that make it a veritable Swiss Army knife of web-oriented shell scripting. There are currently two CVEs out there for the Curl library. They are CVE 2023-38545 and 38546. The first of these uses a rogue host header in the response to a request to overflow a buffer and enable memory to be altered. The second one allows for the alteration of your cookie file. Both of these are significant, the first one more so, but there is a patch out, so you know what to do. Patch your systems! Users of WordPress should take care in plugin choice. This goes without saying, of course, but there are a few sharks swimming in the pool of WordPress plugins. One such shark is also a chameleon, if we may torture the analogy a bit. A number of professional-looking plugins have appeared which claim to be caching plugins, but they're not. What they are is a covert remote administration tool that provides a pathway for their sponsoring threat actors to reach in and create accounts on your WordPress instances. Ultimately, the only way forward is to make sure that you trust the source of any plugins that you use. Finally, in a case that is likely to have implications for artificial intelligence systems across the board, Universal Music Group is suing Anthropic PBC for using copyrighted song lyrics as training material for their AI. It's not clear whether or not this constitutes an actual breach of copyright, as this is the sort of situation that didn't really exist when copyright laws were drafted. So this is going to be a good one to watch. Regardless, it seems appropriate that artists should be compensated for their work, Whether or not paying UMG for this use will result in such compensation is another matter. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Time? We have two this time. First up, a name that Gen Xers like me will remember as the maker of reliable digital watches and toy musical keyboards. And that would be Casio. Allegedly, threat actors have made off with names, email addresses, countries of residence, purchase information, you know, basic order details for about 120,000 customers of the company, about three quarters of whom are in the company's home country of Japan. In a statement, Casio said, quote, "At this time, it has been confirmed that some of the network security settings in the development environment were disabled due to an operational error of the system by the department in charge and insufficient operational management. Casio believes these were the causes of the situation that allowed an external party to gain unauthorized access," end quote. So it appears that what we have here is a good demonstration of why you don't use live data in a development environment. The other big one that we have is a company called Okta. Okta is an identity and access management company based in San Francisco. It is literally their job to check your credentials and either let you into a computer system or keep you out. As such, it is particularly poignant that they were breached. Making it worse, it appears that the data collected in the breach is sufficient to impersonate users, impacting the corporate security of any organization using it. So, I'm looking at the text of a bill that is currently in committee in the New York State Assembly, and I am just left shaking my head. The bill in question, Assembly Bill 88132, sponsored by Assemblyperson Jennifer Rajkumar of Queens, would require background checks for the purchase of a 3D printer that is capable of producing firearms or firearm parts. That is literally all 3D printers. Oh, it gets better, though. Excluding the administrative greebles, the last paragraph of the bill provides a definition of a 3D printer as, quote, "a computer or computer-driven machine or device capable of producing a three-dimensional object from a digital model," end quote. So that means not just 3D printers, but also CNC milling machines, computer-controlled lathes, or really any kind of shop machine with a CNC, a PLC, or other type of computer attached to it. Okay, folks, I have to say that I fully understand that we have a problem in this country, and that guns, rightly or wrongly, appear to be the obvious common denominator that the problem has. But regardless of how you feel about gun regulation, this is just fucking stupid. There is no way to look at this proposal and not conclude that this is going too far. For starters, it won't work. There is no place in New York State that isn't fairly close to a state line that you can cross to buy contraband. For instance, right here in Schenectady, I-90 runs straight through and into Massachusetts. It's, I don't know, maybe an hour away, if that. And just on the other side of the state line in Lee, you will find fireworks stands and pot dispensaries to serve New York customers. In Assemblywoman Rajkumar's case, it's even lamer, because Connecticut and New Jersey are both right nearby. Anybody wanting a 3D printer without the background check in any part of New York metro area doesn't need to travel far. They don't even really technically need to leave the metro area, because these parts of these other two states are considered part of it. Now, obviously, this led me to look into the so-called ghost gun problem. And what I found is that the vast majority of ghost guns are not produced by hobbyists at home. They are, allegedly, produced by a company in Nevada called Polymer 80. As such, making life difficult for hobbyists who want to produce models of ships, 10 Segrety tables, or parts for an obsolete tape recorder solves absolutely fucking nothing. This bill needs to die in committee. As usual, we'll end the show with the fail of the fortnight. It's no secret to anyone who has listened to this show for any length of time that pwns happen. That's why news of recent pwns is a regular feature of the show. The pwn of the week, it used to be called when the show was weekly. Most of the time, when systems get pwned, it's someone's business systems, and it's awkward, but it's not actually dangerous. What we haven't seen a lot of so far have been pwns of industrial control systems. An unfortunate reality of such systems is that it is often difficult to find the opportunity for downtime to patch them. Instead, operators of such systems need to rely on other measures to keep their systems safe, which they often do if they realize the danger. So that brings us to the actual fail on this fine fortnight. It goes to the Environmental Protection Agency. The EPA has withdrawn cybersecurity guidance that they had published for the industrial control systems that operate the water systems of this country. This, in a world that is becoming increasingly hostile, where it takes almost no imagination to come up with a state or non-state actor that might wish to inflict harm on us. The guidance was already under a moratorium thanks to an order issued by the 8th Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals after the EPA were sued by public water systems in the states of Iowa, Arkansas, and Missouri. Maybe they don't want us to find out what's in the water in those places. You know, I wonder if the decision makers in those places drink bottled water. I bet they do. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to DOA, Annabelle, DOA, Psycho, DOA, Azrael, DOA, Knight Rider 007, and Snackness for story leads. Oh, and DOA. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80, Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or send a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 138 will drop on the 11th of November. Stay safe and be well.
We did the thing!